It's now my pleasure to call on Brother Matt for the words of exhortation.
Well, thank you, Brother Nathan, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters and friends. As some of you will already know, our family was up at the Prince George Fraternal last weekend, so I think we all had a great time. Kids had a great time playing with some of the other kids, families visiting in that area, and we had a great time of fellowship with some of our brothers and sisters visiting from all over. It was nice to see Sister Marilyn Crawford, who we haven't seen in a few years, and be able to talk to her. So that was nice, as many or most of you will know her. So for our exhortation this morning, we'll take our thoughts from 2 Timothy. As we prepare our minds to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we reflect on his perfect life and our imperfect lives, we'll see, or we'll consider, three aspects of our spiritual lives to work on. These things sort of jumped out at me, emphasized here in 2 Timothy as we think about our personal, individual walks in Christ and before our Father, and the collective journey that we are on as an ecclesia, as a body of Christ made up of many parts. So looking in then at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 20 to 22, we'll find our starting point. Chapter 2, verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So now there are more than three items in verse 22, righteousness, faith, love, peace, and a pure heart, but we find the three aspects that we want to consider this morning in that verse, and that verse really points back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, which is a theme that Paul's repeating here in 2 Timothy. So just looking at 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, to get that verse in our minds as well. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So in that verse from 1 Timothy 1, we're looking at the goal of our instruction. Why we spend our lives learning what the Bible has to say and trying to apply it to our lives. Why paying attention, any attention to this book, the Word of God, and its relevance to us is important. And so these three aspects of our personal lives, our personal walk, are love from a pure heart, a good conscience, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. And at the end, we'll add in a fourth aspect from the end of verse 22 from 2 Timothy 2, which we looked at, which says, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we're striving to have these good things in ourselves, these characteristics our Heavenly Father is pleased with, and also surrounding ourselves with people who strive for the same values, being part of the ecclesia and not trying to do all of this on our own. So if we looked, we would find these aspects of our discipleship all through the letters to Timothy. If we turn just forward again to 2 Timothy, we'll think about and look at these three in a little bit more detail individually in chapter 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So in those selection of verses, we pick out the three aspects that we're looking at this morning, our theme. Verse 3 has the theme of the clear conscience. Verse 5, sincere faith, and verse 7, the spirit of love. So in verse 3, Paul is able to say that he serves God with a clear conscience. And in Acts 23, verse 1, Paul, in his defense before the chief priests and council, boldly says, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." And also in Acts 24, I'll just turn that one up. Acts 24, again, Paul before Felix says in verse 14, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men." So Paul was able to confidently say these things about his conscience, despite what he had done earlier in his life as Saul. So how is it that he can be this bold? How can we have and maintain a clear conscience? How can we be bold in these things? And why do we want to have a clear conscience? Let's come over to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3 from verse 14. "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So we have one of the reasons for having a good, healthy conscience as we want to be able to discern right from wrong as God sees right and wrong, and that it is tied to Christ reconciling us to God through his death and his just resurrection. Moving on to the second aspect then from the letters to Timothy, a sincere faith within you. From chapter 2, verse 5, remembering that these three parts that we're considering this morning are from chapter 1, verse 5, as part of the goal of our instruction. So the characteristic of a sincere faith, specifically in the life of Timothy, was cultivated in his upbringing. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice being strong examples of faithful believers to him. In Acts 16, 1 and 2, it speaks of Paul wanting Timothy to journey with him in the preaching efforts, and how Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium, and also that his mother was a believer. If we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read again of the benefits of this spiritual upbringing. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So again, the benefits that Timothy received in his strong spiritual upbringing through childhood. And again, this type of sincere faith that was present in this family being one of the goals that we should have as well as we continue to learn through life from our three goals in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. So the third aspect of our discipleship for consideration this morning then is that spirit of love from 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And this idea of our goal being love from a pure heart from 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. And I would submit that we can't really show this characteristic or have love from a pure heart until we have been working on the other two, the clear conscience and sincere faith. Let's turn back just a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, starting at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren beloved by God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know, what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. So our work, brothers and sisters, as theirs was, is a work of faith and a labor of love, which means that these things are active. Our love is to be an action shown in various ways, not merely a feeling. In Paul's letter to Titus in chapter 2, verse 2, he encourages older men to be sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. And surely these things, these encouragements, can be received by all of us to benefit from, regardless of age or gender. Perhaps when Paul singles out groups as young or old, male or female, and has something specific to address to them, that these are the areas that each group tends to need the most encouragement and reminding about. So these are our three aspects of discipleship from the letters to Timothy and the three goals of our instruction from chapter 1. We could look to many examples from the life of Jesus in his ministry addressing these characteristics. We'll consider one for each of the goals. From the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 7. John 8, verse 7 says, this is when Jesus is addressing the crowd and the adulterous woman. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was, in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." I'm using the New American Standard Version this morning, but if we looked at the King James in verse 9, it says that they were convicted by conscience. So Jesus being the only one present that had a clear, good conscience, and still he does not condemn her. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you have faith as the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And so concerning faith, our primary concern is not to appear as giants of faith to others, but to have a faith that is pure, that is sincere. This is the goal of our instruction from 1 Timothy. It may start out small, like a mustard seed, but more importantly, is it true and sincere? Finally, the third aspect, the spirit of love, the love from a pure heart. When Jesus was questioned by the lawyer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, let's turn that one up. Matthew 22 and starting at verse 36. The lawyer says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." So Jesus' answer is the action of love. Our duty, our work, our service to God and to each other, even all people. So these are the three goals of our instruction from Timothy and the three aspects of our discipleship for us personally to work on. The clear conscience, sincere faith, and spirit of love. And as we work on these things individually in our spiritual lives, a fourth item from 2 Timothy is not to be missed. So back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." With those who call on the Lord. So fellowship is essential. Surrounding ourselves with others who also call on the Lord from a pure heart. Spending our time with others who are trying to do those same things, developing those characteristics and setting those goals. Such as the time we are spending here today, surrounded by each other with common interests and goals for the future. So as we in fellowship remember our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we remember the only one who at all times had that clear conscience, sincere faith, and spirit of love exhibited in his life. Our Heavenly Father asks us to look at this example in his Son and try to have these things alive in our lives as well.